morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. We are glad to be with you once again. Welcome to this Wednesday, March 27th edition of the Inside Scoop right here on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio. I am your host, Thera Martin, and glad to be with you this morning. I'm glad I didn't have to take a boat to get in here today. They're talking about some rain and, you know, other inclement kind of weather coming our way a little bit later on. We'll give you a full weather forecast, but I'm just joking. It's not that bad. I mean, as long as we're not talking about snow and ice storms, I'm good. I'm good. I can work with whatever else is happening. Well, today on the program, at just about 8:10 this morning, we will be talking with Charlotte Murray. She'll be my first guest, and she's the founder of the Rosebuds Mentoring Program for girls ages 7 to 18. And she's going to tell us her story and why she's doing what she's doing in the heart of North Philadelphia. And then a little bit later on in the program, at just about 8:35 this morning, Tina Collins will join us, and she's going to share information about a nonprofit that she founded, the Show Me the Way Foundation. So I've got two women who have started nonprofit organizations to lift people up in our communities. And so we are happy to shine the spotlight on them today. Now, before we get to our guest this morning, I have to say good morning to my producer. First of all, Mr. Robert Gleason, good morning. How are you today, TJ?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm still a little bit in shock, like a lot of people, I think, across the country, and certainly people in the Baltimore area, about that bridge going down like it did.
Oh, it was
God.
Devastating.
Absolutely. My prayers, my thoughts are to the families of the missing workers who are in the water somewhere, and certainly the prayers to everybody, because that was just a shocking situation. Had I been on that bridge and one of the lucky ones to have that warning from authorities to say, get off the bridge, get off the bridge, and they made it, they actually made it off, I still would probably have some mental concerns going in my head, very nervous, very jumpy, and definitely, you talk about going on a bridge, very jumpy right now.
You want to know something that's crazy, though, real quick?
Yeah.
On TikTok, I'm seeing all these videos of how to break your window or how to survive your car crashing into water. But I feel like these people didn't even have a chance because it was unexpected.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, oh man. So again, prayers and thoughts to the family. Here it is. It's a holiday season. There's never a time to have a tragedy. There's never a good time to have a tragedy or something horrible happen. But it's like, this is Holy Week. This is, you know, Easter time. For those who get into Easter and all that, it's supposed to be happy, happy time, you know. And now for some families, it's not going to be happy at all. So our prayers and thoughts with them. And as we look at some of the top stories of the day, of course, the number one story that many people are still talking about, the U.S. Coast Guard has suspended search and rescue efforts for six people who were on the Francis Scott Key Bridge when it collapsed early Tuesday morning following a major cargo boat collision. Efforts are expected to resume, and they have resumed at this point, for the missing people who are at this time presumed dead. They started back with their efforts at just about 6 a.m. They were trying to wait for it to get a little bit lighter out so that could help with the rescue the recovery mission, I should say. Search and recovery operations were halted overnight due to dangerous conditions, including very unstable sections of the steel bridge and shipping containers hanging from the cargo ship, Baltimore City Fire Chief James Wallace said. Divers are, as I said, returning to the water. They're in there now as they continue to search for the six missing. Now, Maryland Governor Wes Moore said yesterday, we're still fully committed to making sure that we're going to use every single asset to now bring a sense of closure to the families. The U.S. Coast Guard examining damaged shipping containers, some containing potentially hazardous materials from the crashed vessel. That, according to a U.S. government document obtained and a U.S. official familiar with the matter. Federal officials are monitoring about 1.8 million gallons of fuel inside the ship for its spill potential. That, according to an unclassified memo from the Federal Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. But the U.S. official familiar with the matter says lots would have to go wrong for that amount of fuel to spill. An elite Coast Guard team is examining 13 damaged containers from the crashed vessel, some with Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, and or hazardous materials, hazmat contents. The team is also analyzing the ship's manifest to determine what was on board and if any materials could pose a health risk. Officials were able to stop the flow of traffic, thank God, onto the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore before that massive cargo ship crashed into a support column. That helped to save a lot of lives in the disaster. We thank God for that, and this information coming from Maryland Governor Wes Moore. The container ship Dolly issued a mayday call as it approached the 1.6-mile-long bridge at about 8 knots, a very rapid speed, Moore said. Following that notification, officials were able to prevent more cars from going onto the bridge before the collapse. Now, the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge has a ripple effect that goes far beyond Baltimore. For some, it can be triggering for an existing phobia. And TJ and I, my producer, we were talking about that before I came on the air this morning with this program. The bridge came down early Tuesday morning, as we said, after it was hit by the cargo ship, and the disaster was captured on video. And the sight of it is the worst case scenario for people who already have a fear of bridges. They're thinking, oh, my God, this could have been me, said Dr. Lisa Corbin, a licensed counselor and director of the MS and Counseling Program at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. Seeing the bridge collapse yesterday morning could be an unnerving thought for any person, but for some, it's not just frightening. It is a phobia. It's kind of combines two fears, which are heights and also claustrophobia, said Dr. Valerie Braunstein, a psychologist with the counseling group Philly Psychology. Now, there is an actual name for fear of bridges. I cannot pronounce it. Maybe when I go to break, I'll get TJ to see if he can pronounce it. But I'll tell you how it's spelled. Capital G-E-P-H-Y-R-O, phobia. G-P-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A? I don't know.
I don't know. I can't pronounce anything.
All right. Well, anyway, there is such a thing as a fear of bridges. It's a phobia. And Dr. Braunstein says it's more common than many people may actually think. It's characterized by people as worrying the worst is going to happen. It really disrupts their everyday function as they will avoid bridges. Well, next story. The judge in Donald Trump's criminal hush money case in New York has granted the Manhattan District Attorney's request for a limited gag order on the former president. The order by Judge Juan Merchan restricts Donald Trump's public statements about witnesses and others. Statements made by Donald Trump about witnesses, prosecutors, judges, and others tied to his criminal and civil cases were threatening, inflammatory, denigrating, and represent a sufficient risk to the administration of justice. That said Judge Merchan Tuesday in deciding to impose the partial gag order. The consequences, the judge went on to say, of those statements include not only fear on the part of the individual targeted, but also the assignment of increased security resources to investigate threats and protect the individuals and family members thereof, Judge Merchan said. The order prevents Donald Trump from making public statements about witnesses in the hush money case, prospective jurors, members of the court staff and their families, and lawyers other than Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Now, Trump last April pleaded not guilty to a 34-count indictment charging him with falsifying business records in connection with a hush money payment his then-attorney Michael Cohen made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels just days before the 2016 presidential election. The former president has denied all wrongdoing. Now, the partial gag order follows Trump's disparaging remarks about Cohen, Merchan, and Merchan's daughter after the judge on Monday rejected Trump's bid for a delay in the trial or set the trial start date of April the 15th. Imagine that. So he's mad at the judge because the judge won't push back the start date of the trial. So yesterday, Trump wanted to, he talked about the judge's daughter. And now, there is a gag order in place. And this story, the Mega Millions madness is over this morning, but someone in the Garden State, well, they're raking in the green. I wish it was me. One ticket matching all the numbers in yesterday's $1.13 billion Mega Millions jackpot was sold in the Garden State, according to lottery officials. The exact location of where that lucky ticket was sold in New Jersey hasn't been revealed just yet, but someone is waking up a billionaire this morning. That's got to be a great feeling, I tell you. Tickets matching five of the six numbers valued at $1 million or more were sold in 13 states. One of those tickets carried the Mega Plier, giving it a value of $2 million. But the one that got the billion, man, that ought to be me or one of my relatives that loves me at least. Like, man, that's amazing. Anyway, the weather forecast, an all-important weather forecast for today. As I look out this window, it is kind of dark, a little dreary out there. But shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. Can't have no dreariness during Holy Week. We've got to push forward no matter what. So today, cloudy skies with some showers or a period of rain possible, especially west of the city. High today about 56 degrees. And then tomorrow, more rain comes our way, especially east of the city. Watching impacts on the Phillies home opener. It looks wetter in the morning and we're trending drier late day. High of 53 on tomorrow. Friday, TGI Friday. Good Friday. For Christians around the world, it's bright and breezy to end our week with a high of 56 degrees. Saturday, sun and increasing clouds, breezy with a shower chance late in the day, high of 58 degrees on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Easter Sunday, partly sunny and mild, nice for church services plans and Easter egg hunts, a high of 62 degrees. I'll take it. I'll take it. I remember the days when we were little girls and my parents would get us all dressed up in our Easter finery and stuff. And I remember there were some Easter Sundays when those little cute spring outfits worked all right and we were warm. And there were other Easter Sundays when it was so cold and we had on these little thin summer-like outfits, you know, spring outfits, summer outfits, pretty dresses and all that, freezing our butts off trying to go to church. Oh, boy, oh, boy. It's 8:11. My first guest is there where I asked her to be. I appreciate that so very much. I love it when our guests are on point, on time, and in place. So let me say good morning to Charlotte Murray. Thanks for joining us on WWDB this morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I am good today. I'm thanking God. He woke me up, so that's a blessing right there. I'm alive. You're alive. We're good. And, of course, very prayerful for the people in Baltimore and just anywhere where there's crises and emergencies going on. We're just going to stay prayed up. But I thank you for being here with me on the Inside Scoop today, Charlotte Murray. And I'm so very glad that my dear friend Joyce Smith, Joyce Smith, a former business owner in North Philadelphia. She used to own Joyce's Soul Food Restaurant on Allegheny Avenue. I am so glad that she knows you. Yes. And she said, Thera, this lady has a good heart. She's got a good plan. She's got a great idea. She's been doing it for a while. She didn't just start yesterday. And we got to help her with the Rosebuds Mentoring Program. So that's why you're here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Now tell our listening audience the background about the Rosebuds Mentoring Program.
Okay. So it started actually about 20 years ago, about 21 or so years ago. I was working at Simon Gratz High School. Mm-hmm. I was working for a nonprofit agency where I was working with teen parents. I was counseling the teen parent population. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I noticed that they would come into our office without any issues as far as what they were going through academically, but they were coming into our office, you know, with issues that they were going through personally. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we would have conversations with them and, you know, they seemed to feel better when they left. Mm-hmm. And so I started to realize that these young ladies needed a safe, non-judgmental place mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to come and talk about what they were going through. And so it kind of started with them, a few select of them, not all of the students, mm-hmm. but a few select students coming over to my house on the weekends. And we would talk about issues and we would talk about things they were going through and, you know, how it would make them feel, how it was impacting them academically and socially and things of that nature. And they seemed to, you know, be thriving after they were able to talk. So I said, you know what? I need to do something like this, not just on the weekends, but I need to kind of do something like this, you know, full time, if you will, because their issues are full time. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I then said, okay, it's nice to have them come and talk, but what kind of solutions are you giving them? What type of feedback are you giving them that they can incorporate into their daily lives to make changes, positive changes? And so pretty much thus there started the program. Mm-hmm. It started off as four sisters. That was the name of it, not just for girls, but for sisters. And, you know, we kind of grew. And from there, I would do workshops at different schools. And I was, you know, running around trying to find spaces. So wherever I could have meetings, I was having meetings and things like that. And so over the years, it has kind of grown, still not where I wanted to be, but definitely not where it was.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm just fortunate to say that I've been blessed to impact a lot of young ladies and to see them thrive and to see them grow and to see them walk in their destiny. So that is really rewarding. The rewarding part of what we do.
This is marvelous. And you are a blessing, I'm sure, to every single young lady whose life you have touched already. And you're going to continue doing that. Now, the Rosebuds Mentoring Program. So how did you come up with the name? And I love it, by the way.
Thank you. So I am a big movie buff. I love movies. I love old black and white movies. And one of my favorite movies was the movie Citizen Kane. And in the movie Citizen Kane, there was a the main character had a sled, which we used to have when I was little, you know, the wooden sleds that you take outside and, you know, during the snow when we used to get snow. And so the sled was called Rosebuds. So that name always stuck with me. So when I was thinking about a name that was not just a name, but I wanted to be an impactful name, a name that represented who we were, I thought of Rosebuds. And so Rosebuds is an acronym for realizing our strength and excellence by understanding our destined success. And so, yeah, that's how she pretty much was born, because I want our young ladies to understand that the minute you were born, you were destined for success. So how you tap into that will define. And so I love this quote that says the two most important things in your life is the day you was born and the day you found out why you were born. And so we want our young ladies to understand that you weren't born by happenstance. You weren't born by, you know, some fluke or fault. You were born because you're destined to be here. And so we just want them to walk in that destiny and find whatever path that is.
And I know that's right. You are going to be doing an open house upcoming on a Saturday in April. Tell our audience about the open house and where it's going to be. And I am proud to say that the Allegheny West Foundation is partnering with you so that you can do your workshops with our young ladies right there at our building, the Allegheny West Foundation Business and Community Resource Center at 2850 North 22nd Street. But tell us about the open house date and what parents or young people need to sign up.
Okay. So before I do that, I want to just thank you for allowing us to utilize your space in the community. Like I said, we were, you know, I had a space before that I was using, and I appreciate and thank her for that. And so, you know, I'm just really grateful to Allegheny West for allowing us to utilize this space. And that's where
we're happy to have
open house will be.
We're happy to have
2850 North 22nd Street. Thank you so much. You know, thank you. And so the open house is going to be on April 13th. It's going to be from 1 to 3. And what parents and young ladies can learn that day is pretty much what we do. You know, the type of workshops that we give, and the, you know, just the overall climate of the program. One of our biggest components is community service. I am such a big advocate on giving back. I believe that is our purpose here, is to give back and to serve others. So that's a really big part of our program. And so they will learn about some of the ventures that we do for community service. One, which is coming up, will be our book giveaway that we do every year. This will be our sixth year. And so that's one of the initiatives that we have. So they'll get to learn about our different community service projects. They'll get to learn about the different types of workshops that we do. And they will get to learn about some of the outings that we would like to do. COVID stopped a lot of things,
sure
but
did.
Now that we are back thriving. We will be able to get back out into the community and abroad and go where and expose these young ladies. So they'll get to learn about all of that. Mm-hmm. The program services young ladies between the ages of 7 to 18. Mm-hmm. There are two groups. Our first group, which is our petals. They are the ones that are still blossoming and growing. Mm-hmm. They are 7 to 12. And our roses, which are sprouting, they are our 13 to 18 year olds.
Nice.
And so, yeah, so they'll be able to pretty much learn about, you know, all of the wonderful things that we are doing. They'll be able to sign up their daughter on that day if they're interested. There's an application that they, you know, have to fill out in the consent form for their child, and they'll be able to sign up. I also want to quickly say that the program is a wonderful opportunity for young ladies to gather and empower one another. But we also need to make sure that the parents are aware that their input is just as valuable. Mm-hmm. We need the support of parents as well, sure, not to just drop your daughter off on those second and fourth Saturdays that the workshop will be in attendance. But we need you guys to be vessels for us as well. So we need you to be just as invested as you, we want your daughter to be.
So now this, it won't be every Saturday. It's the second and fourth Saturday.
Yes.
And how long will it go? Is it a 6-week series? Is it a 10-week series?
Well, you know, now before it was pretty much a year-round program that we did. And so I'm looking to do a 10-week series with the young ladies and then take a break or, you know, regroup.
Yes. And then we start back up again.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Absolutely.
This is wonderful. And parents can learn more about your wonderful organization, the Rosebuds Mentoring Program. You've got a website. You've got other ways that people can find out about all the specifics, right?
Well, our website is currently being
redesigned.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
And so, one of our blessed women that work with me, she is actually kind of getting our website together. So I appreciate her too. But they can, if they want to see some of the things we have done, they can follow us on Instagram at This Is Rosebuds, and they will be able to see some of the wonderful things that we have done. If they are on Facebook, they can look us up on Rosebuds Mentoring Program. They'll be able to see some of the things that we've done in some of the schools that we've gone into, some of the things that we've done in the community. Okay. If they have questions or concerns or anything like that, they can reach me via email at rosebuds0612@gmail.com. And so at right now, those are the places where they can kind of get a little snippet of what we do. And if they come out to the open house, I hope they do, then they'll get a chance to learn more.
Okay. Give us the date of the open house again and the time of the open house.
Okay. So once again, the date will be April 13th. That's on a Saturday. It will be from 1 to 3 at 2850 North 22nd Street in the wonderful, beautiful Allegheny West Building. And so, yes, that's where we will be.
Okay.
And we hope to see all the wonderful people in the community. If you know of any young ladies in those age groups that I mentioned, 7 to 18, that you think can benefit from this program, please come out and just hear what we have to say.
I applaud you. I applaud you. I applaud you and other people like you who aren't just talking about, oh, we got problems in our city, or we need to do something with these young people. You're not just talking about it. You are about it. You started an organization to help young ladies, to reach out to them and to give them some grounding and some more foundation above and maybe beyond even what they're getting at home from mom and dad. And, you know, a lot of us, we're working, we're so busy. By the time we get home, we're just so exhausted. We don't give all we need to give to our children. We don't pour into them everything that we should. And so thank God for people like Charlotte Murray for doing what you do. Now, do you have to be rich to sign your child up for this program? Because this sounds like it's going to be rich in terms of what you're going to give to the young ladies. But how much money do you have to be a part of it?
Well, you know what? Right now, nothing. But what we do ask is we ask for donations because it is a nonprofit organization.
Yes.
And we, you know, with the workshops and things that we do, we know that takes money, you know, supplies and things like that. And so we do ask for donations for the young ladies that will be a part of the program. But to participate in the program is free.
That sounds really, really good. And I'm so glad that Joyce Smith connected you with me. And we're looking forward to what we can do to be supportive to the Rosebuds Mentoring Program going forward. Aside from just saying, well, here's our building. You can come in here. We're prayerful that we will come up with some other ways that we can equally be supportive to what you have going on. And so we will certainly remind people on this program at WWDB about your open house that you're having on Saturday, April the 13th from 1 till 3 in the afternoon. 2850 North 22nd Street. We encourage moms and other caregivers of our young ladies to come on out, bring, and they can bring their daughter or their child with them, their niece or absolutely. Their goddaughter with them, right?
Yes.
To the open house.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Fantastic. Yes. Any closing thought that you would like to leave with our audience for right now?
Once again, thank you so much for having me on your platform. Thank you for the connection and the partnership that we have started. And I pray nothing but goodness comes from that. And I just want to leave everyone with, you know, there are wonderful programs across the city, not just, you know, my program. There are wonderful mentoring programs across the city. Get your young people involved in things. There are a lot of things going on across the city that, you know, floods our news with the violence and things. There are good things going on, too. And if your child needs something to do, get them in somebody's program. It doesn't have to be mine, but get them in someone's program so that they can start thinking differently and so that they can start moving differently and so that they can start seeing that they are worthy of anything that they set their mind to.
Absolutely.
And so hopefully that'll change the narrative of a lot of our young people and they'll start to see that they are destined to succeed.
I know and that's so, right. Thank you, my dear. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we'll have to have you back again maybe just before the Wednesday before you have the open house just to remind people about what's happening and what's going on. I wish you all the best and we will stay in touch. We'll be seeing each other all the time real soon.
Absolutely.
All right. You have a marvelous day ahead, whether we have liquid sunshine or not. Take it easy and enjoy the day. Whatever you can grab in terms of joy in life, we better grab it while we can because you never know.
Amen.
All right. Now, take care. That is Miss Charlotte Murray. She is the founder of the Rosebuds Mentoring Program for girls ages 7 to 18. You'll be hearing more about them right here at WWDB AM Talk 860. I'm Thera Martin, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, my. My heart is still a little heavy. It's heavy this morning. Not for myself, not for anybody that I know personally, but for the people who were on that bridge when that that big ship container hit the bridge and took it down in Baltimore. And my prayers and thoughts are with the family members who are grieving today because their loved one is not coming back home. Every time we leave out our door, leave out of your home to go to work or to go to a meeting or an appointment or something, you really don't know. You really don't know if you're coming back. And so when I leave out of my door every morning, I say to my dog and my cat, I'll see you later on if God says so. I tell them, mommy's coming back. I say, I'm coming back. And I add, if God says so, because I don't take any of that stuff for granted. I absolutely don't. And I think none of us should. Life is something else. Yes, it is. Alrighty now, it is 8:29 in the morning, and I do have another guest that will join us at just about 8:35, Miss Tina Collins, and she's going to be talking about Show Me the Way Foundation, another wonderful nonprofit. It is also happens to be based in the heart of North Philadelphia, so we'll find out all about that. And then we've got a wonderful, another food giveaway, one happening on this Friday. How about that? Normally, you know, we do food giveaways on a Wednesday, but this time, this week, we have one on this Friday, March the 29th, and it's going to be on North 5th Street in the Logan Olney section of Philadelphia. I'm going to give you the exact address in just a few moments, but I'm looking forward to that on this Friday. That is what I will be doing on Good Friday. We will be part of a food giveaway, Hustling in the Morning. And then I've committed to helping a dear friend of mine. She is the first lady of the second Councilmatic District, Dawn Chavu. Her husband is City Council President Kenyatta Johnson. And I've known both of them for many years, since before they had big titles. And she's a real and dealing PR person downtown Philadelphia, and her husband is Philadelphia City Council President. But I've known them for many years. They are my friends. And so she has asked me to do something with her tomorrow, Friday, to help set up for a women's event happening Saturday. It's invitation only at the historic Belmont Mansion. And so I will roll up my sleeves on Friday and meet Dawn Chavu and some other ladies out there at the Belmont Mansion as we set up and do whatever we need to do to get ready for a wonderful ladies program on Saturday, March the 30th. So that's how my Good Friday is going to be spent. But at some point, I'm going to get in somebody's church and hear the word on Good Friday, too. I gotta do that. I gotta hear the word on Friday. So we'll do the food giveaway. We're gonna go into church and get our blessing. And then I'm gonna get on over to the historic Belmont Mansion and do my thing helping Dawn Chavu as we set the place up for a wonderful ladies gathering on Saturday, March the 30th. Let me just tell you about Pollock's Urban Vitamin Center. I appreciate them so much. Mr. Charles Pollock is a proud owner of Pollock's Urban Vitamin Center. He's been there for over 30 years. Located at 5925 North Broad Street, it is the place to come for all your urban vitamin needs for your everyday living. It makes good sense to use herbs and vitamins, right? That helps you stay healthy with colds and COVID and other illnesses still floating around a little bit. Pollock's Urban Vitamin Center has just the right products to help keep some of your health concerns at bay. So you got to stop by Pollock's Urban Vitamin Center, 5925 North Broad Street. They are open 6 days a week. Right now at Pollock's, they're offering 20% off weekly immune specials such as Shilajit capsules for energy, stamina, and collagen production by Youth Theory. Wormwood combination capsules to kill adult offspring and eggs of parasites by Kroger Herbs. Emotional well-being medicine. How about that? Wellness to keep you upbeat and to support occasional stress. That's by Bio Nutrition. And don't forget, 20% off all sales items at the Pollock's Urban Vitamin Center. When you walk in their store over the next 5 days, everything 20% off at Pollock's Urban Vitamin Center. A couple of other products I want to tell you about that they have. Purely C Vitamin by North American. Wild Cherry Bark Syrup by Planetary Herbals. Immune Essentials by Wellgenex. And Zinc by Nature's Plus. All you got to do is ask the sales associates at Pollock's Urban Vitamin Center about their other wonderful products in the store. Don't forget, all items are 20% off this week. You got to come to Pollock's Urban Vitamin Center at 5925 North Broad Street. Call Pollock's today. The phone number is 215-549-4372. They open at 10 a.m., 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Mondays through Saturdays, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Mondays through Saturdays. Or you can check out their website, www.pollocksherb.com. I appreciate Mr. Charles Pollock so very much. And he said, Theory, you know what? I want to put some ads on this program you're hosting at WWDB, the Inside Scoop radio show. And so that's what we have done. And it gives me great pleasure and pride to read commercials that come from Pollock's Herb and Vitamin Center. Hold that address in your brain, 5925 North Broad Street in Philadelphia, the place to go to get all your vitamin and herbal needs. It is now 8:34 in the morning, and I want to give you one to put on your calendar as a save the date. For anybody who's been in some trouble with the law, made a bad choice, made a mistake, had to go away, serve some time, well, there is a Second Chance Job Fair and Resource Village that's happening. It's going to be on Friday, April the 19th. So put this one on your calendar. If you know you fall in that category, or you know someone who is in that category who made a mistake and did some time, and now they need to get back on their feet. They need a job. They need some resource information. Then you got to come on out to the Howard Guidus Student Activity Center, Temple University, 1755 North 13th Street, room 200 in Philadelphia. That's at the corner of 13th and Montgomery Avenue. You enter from the middle of the block building entrance. And so that is Friday, April the 19th, 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. It's a second chance job fair and resource village. Meet with reentry friendly hiring employers and community agencies that provide services to formerly incarcerated citizens. I encourage you, if you fall in this category, if you have a loved one or a friend, somebody you know is in this category, they've recently come out of being incarcerated, and they're trying to get back on their feet. They need a job. They need some other resources. You want them to come out on Friday, April the 19th, between 10 a.m. and 2 in the afternoon on Temple University's campus, the Howard Guidus Student Activity Center at 1755 North 13th Street, room 200, right there at the corner of 13th and Montgomery, okay? And you enter the building from, like, the middle of the block. I've been there a bunch of times for different events. And the very first time I ever went there, I was like, where is the entrance? Like, where? I was getting, you know, getting a little attitude. Calm down. Calm down. It's in the middle of the block. You'll see it. You will see it. And if you want more information, call Michael Robinson, Temple University Linfest North Philadelphia Workforce Initiative. Mike Robinson at Temple University. His number is 215-204-0677. 215-204-0677. A huge thanks to the partners that are a part of this event that's happening on Friday, April the 19th. Pennsylvania State Senator Sharif Street. And also Uplift Solutions, Inc. is involved with this. JEVS, Human Resources, the Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia, Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, and, of course, Temple University, a couple other sponsors and supporters of this event are here as well on this flyer. Got a little bit cut off, so I can't read all their names, but we'll give more credit as we go into the month of April, because I'm going to be talking about this one. People who are coming out of incarceration, they need to be working. They need a job. They need to get their life back on track, because if they don't, some of them will resort back to their old habits and old ways, and they'll be back in prison. Proving the recidivism thing, recidivism, keep revolving door. We don't want you to be a revolving door. We want you to move forward with your life, become a productive member of society who gives back in the community, who cares about the community, and not getting involved in any legal problems anymore. That's what I would hope and want and pray for people who are coming out of incarceration. Get it right this time. And there are second chance opportunities available for you. Start by going to the Second Chance Job Fair and Resource Village Friday, April the 19th. My next guest on the line, she is there. I love it. I love it. I love it. And so we are going to go right now to Ms. Tina Collins, proud founder of the Show Me the Way Foundation. Good morning, my friend. All right, so turn your microphone on. How about that? Take it off mute.
I'm so sorry. I thought it was turned on.
Hey, sis, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good to see you this morning. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited about getting the day started.
Yeah. You going to meet me over there with the 39th Police this morning?
I'm sorry?
You know the 39th Police is having their thing this morning.
Yes.
Are you going?
Coffee with the cop. I'm coming.
I'm coming to have some coffee with the cops this morning. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I guess for transparency's sake, I should say to our listening audience that Tina Collins and I, we both serve on a very special, I think, very important body, and it is called PDAC. That's the Police Department Advisory Council. And each police district in the city has a PDAC. We happen to be a part of the 39th Police District PDAC. I'm proud to be a part of the PDAC. And I just want to be able to find a way to be more helpful, to be more useful, and not just somebody who comes and sits at a table once a month for a meeting and then I don't do nothing else. So I am determined to get my butt more in gear and to be more helpful to the cause and the various wonderful things that we're doing with PDAC. But right now, I want you to talk about Show Me the Way Foundation. How did it get started? What inspired you or motivated you to start your nonprofit, lady?
I'd be more than happy to talk about that, Ms. Dara. It has truly been an honor and a blessing. But I just want to mention very quickly about the PDAC. Prior to joining the PDAC, I think I had the view and belief system of most people about law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I joined the PDAC that my perception has changed. Mm-hmm. And like you, I am committed to helping the general public change their perception. That's a very difficult job. And one thing that police officers that we know of and that we work with, they're committed just like we mm-hmm, are to changing mm-hmm, our community. Mm-hmm. Okay, enough about the PDAC.
Okay, for now, we're going to do a whole nother show on PDAC as soon as possible. Okay. I want them on the air with me. That means you, Miss Ellen, Ken Curry, Tyreek Stroman, the police captain, or whoever's allowed to talk, because I know there's a lot of rules around who can make public statements in the city right now. But anyway, let's talk about Show Me the Way Foundation.
Show Me the Way Foundation. In 2018, I actually went to England for the weekend to see Hamilton musical. And I actually saw the Tina Turner musical while I was there that weekend as well. And why I mentioned that is because I was shocked. I was sitting and watching the most popular musical in the world at the time. And the format that was being used was rap. And that's what floored me, because like you, I remember when rap first started, it was vilified. They tried to stop it. They tried to put it out. And now here I am sitting in a foreign country looking at the history of an individual that helped shape the financial structure of our country using a format that was once vilified. And that was in July of that year. Wow. And it wasn't until September that I came up with the idea of the Show Me the Way Foundation. And one of the tools that I wanted to introduce the curriculum was through the Hamilton musical, by showing them, by showing young people the effectiveness of our voices through the arts. That would be a vehicle to introduce them to the community or the world outside their communities. And with that exposure, teach them how to use their voices effectively to implement change in their own communities. And that was the concept that the Show Me the Way Foundation was started on. And when I came up with the idea, I said, wait a minute, this seems kind of far-fetched. And I actually called one of my mentors that night and I ran the idea by her and she loved it. And so from there, we started working and building the Show Me the Way Foundation. And our primary purpose is to teach our children, first of all, how to behave and how to use their voices to implement change in areas and in communities that were once considered irreparable. Like, change can't happen. It can.
It can happen.
And our children are the perfect ones to do that. And so I set on a mission of creating the foundation. My voice, my choice is the youth mentoring program. Okay. It's a 15-week curriculum, literally designed to initially teach children how to behave. And when I say how to behave, unfortunately, most of our young people, children and young adults, are so engulfed in social media. They don't know how to interact one-on-one, face-to-face. That's the first challenge, to get them out of the internet, to be able to sit with each other and whole conversations. I've actually been in rooms where they've been sitting in a group texting each other on the phone. I just blows my mind.
Right, right, right.
I just think that's crazy. But
talk to each other. Put the phones down.
Put the phones down. So let's
Lord.
teach them how to do that. And then second of all, because violence has become such a major player in the lives of our young people, teach them about conflict resolution. It's okay for us not to for us to disagree. I don't have to agree with you, Miss Thera. I don't. I don't. I don't have to agree with you, and that's my right. Teach them that just like I have the right to be who I am, teach them that others have that same right. And just like we want them to give us that freedom, we have to give them that freedom. And so conflict resolution is major, major. And I was so fortunate when I moved to this area, I saw a need. I was coming home one morning from the store and I saw this kid. He was walking behind his father's car delivering newspapers. I remember as a kid, I delivered newspapers. And I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. Newspapers don't get delivered like that anymore. I said, well, how can we get these young kids, I mean, like 8 years old, how can we get them active and teach them job skills from that age? And I came up with the idea for the Newkirk Junior Street Keepers. And so I'd just become the block captain. So I said, I went to the residents on the block. I said, listen, we got a lot of kids on our block. How about we each donate $10 a month and we pay them to come out and clean our block? Well, needless to say, they
Don't.
were hesitant about that. But the first month, it's about six kids, ages 8 to 12. We came out on a Saturday morning, about 8 o'clock, and we started cleaning. And people started, they heard us and they started looking out the window and opening their doors.
Come on
And
now.
it just literally took off.
Took off from there.
The residents started communicating with each other. They started donating monthly. They started over-donating so much to the point where we set up a street fund to buy supplies. And
Praise
then
God.
I discovered that very close to us was an area that was notorious for dumping. It was massive. When I saw that for the first time, I just was in total disbelief. And at that time, it was, I think it was, in addition to everything else, it was like 18 mattresses down there. I literally called Councilman Jones's office. I said, and I took a picture and I sent
Philly three
the
one
community
one.
liaison, the community liaison. I sent her the picture. And when I called her, I said, can you get these picked up? She had them picked up the same day.
It's so
finally said,
crazy you would mention mattresses because even while I'm on the radio doing this show this morning, I got a text message from one of my colleagues on North 22nd Street saying, Thera, there's some mattresses somebody has dumped. Can you please call somebody to get this addressed? And of course, as soon as I get off the air, I will be sending the pictures that were sent to me to Philly 311. But I also reach out to our councilperson. Councilwoman Cindy Bass from the 8th District. She represents the area where the Allegheny West Foundation is. And when you call Cindy Bass's number, she gets it done. So sometimes I find that council people get stuff done even faster than Philly 311. Not trying to talk about Philly 311 in a negative way. I'm just speaking the truth.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so that following Saturday, I think it was the next day actually, me and the kids, we went down there and we cleaned that whole area up. And I reached out to one of our local businesses, Sonova. Always give them a shout out because they're so supportive of
Where are
our
they and who are
community.
they? Sanova.
Sonova, yes, they're primarily, they're right there, right here on Allegheny Avenue, and they do maintenance, landscaping.
I should
they do
know them. I should know them.
massive
I
snow
don't know.
removal.
Okay.
I'm sure
Okay. I think
you're
I think
familiar.
I've driven by there. Yes, I think I did notice that sign. Yes.
You have, you can't miss it.
Okay.
So I reached out to the owner. I said, listen, Harry, me and the kids will keep that area clean.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to maintain the grass. He said, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we still had another problem because it was notorious for dumping. So we want to find out who's dumping down
right,
here, right?
Right, right.
Which is the 29th and Huntington Street
mm-hmm,
area.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over to the food share program. George Madison, the director. I said, George, can we put a camera on your building to monitor that area so we can find out who's dumping so it can stop?
Go ahead, girl.
He said, yeah. As a matter of fact, I got some in the basement. I got some cameras in the basement. So we literally formed a partnership. Oh, and I need to mention the Philadelphia More Beautiful Committee.
Mm-hmm.
I reached out to them while I was a block captain, but I reached out to my block chief. I said, hey, when we clean up this area, we have all these bags. Can you guys do a special trip and pick
mm-hmm.
them up?
Mm-hmm.
He said, just give us a call.
Team. Yep. That's all you got to do.
That's formed a partnership that has eliminated an area of our city
yes.
that was once notorious for dumping.
Mm-hmm.
And so subsequently, the junior street keepers were working to expand it to other blocks.
Good.
Because not only do the children help to maintain the block that they're on,
mm-hmm.
they're being taught work skills.
Yep.
They're being taught how to work as a team.
Show me the way. Show me the way.
Absolutely. More importantly, they're connecting with their community.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we have, when there are other children that come to the block, they let it be known, mm-hmm. hey, this is our block. We have to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, they don't always do it, but they put that as a priority.
Yes, I love it. I love
it. One of the biggest important things was one day, soon after we started, one of the residents' daughter walked up to me,
mm-hmm.
and she said, I need to thank you. I didn't know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, for what? She said, you have changed the environment of this block.
Aww.
And
that's what's up. That's what's up. Wow, we are almost out of time, Tina. So that says to me, I'm going to have you back real soon. But how can people learn more about Show Me the Way?
I'm sorry.
How can people find out more about Show Me the Way Foundation, be in touch with you, and all of that?
Right on our website, the Show Me the Way Foundation. If you Google it, you'll find it. You can mm-hmm. always reach out to me. My number is 267-909-9961.
Mm-hmm.
Please give me a call. I'll be more than happy to share any of my information and resources. We've got some great events coming up this year.
Now the citywide spring cleanup event is coming up Saturday, April the 6th. And I know already as a block captain, you're going to have your people involved, right?
Absolutely. We are actually going to go to another block.
Mm-hmm.
that doesn't have a block captain
mm-hmm.
or people that help
That's
maintain
what's up.
It. So we're going over there to clean that up.
Wow.
But I want to make special mention, our block will be closed on July the 13th for our second annual community sneaker ball. It is open for the community and we are excited. But if you go to the website, you can find out more information about that as well.
Fantastic. And if God says so, and I'm still sitting here hosting this program, Inside Scoop, come the end of June of this year, just before your event, we will talk about, if you want it to be talked about, your sneaker
Absolutely.
Ball for your block. That is amazing and wonderful. Keep doing the great work you're doing, Tina. I will see you soon. And we're going to sip some coffee together with some cops
Absolutely.
This morning.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you, Miss Sarah.
Thank you. I'll see you in a little bit. Take care. That's our Tina. That's our Tina. Tina Collins doing great work in North Philadelphia and beyond. We appreciate her and thank her for sharing her story with us this morning on the Inside Scoop for sure. Now, as we get ready to go, I did tell you that I was going to share some information with you about a food giveaway. We've got another food giveaway. It is happening on this Friday. It is Friday, March the 29th, and it's actually going to take place in the Logan Olney section of Philadelphia. It's outside in front of an organization, a nonprofit called the G-Pass Organization. The address is 4943 North 5th Street. 4943 North 5th Street, happening this Friday from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. or until all the food supplies are gone. And who's doing it? It's the Allegheny West Foundation, New Cortland, Blessings of Hope, the Share Food Program, Phil Abundance, Pennsylvania State Senator Sharif Street, and Philadelphia City Councilwoman Cindy Bass. Then we've got State Rep Jason Dawson, who's going to be coming out, Ward Leader Sharon Vaughn, City Councilman at Large Jimmy Harity, and City Councilman from the 9th District, where I live, City Councilman Anthony Phillips, all going to be there together working it this Friday on Good Friday. Good Friday, Friday, March 29th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., 4943 North 5th Street, as we give out free food to people in our community who really need it. Once again, Pollock's Urban Vitamin Center, 5925 North Broad Street. Go there to get your herb and vitamin needs. Mr. Charles Pollock and his outstanding staff, they will take care of you. Give them a call today at 215-549-4372. That's it for me. I'm cooked like a goose. Got to get out of here. I thank my wonderful producer, Mr. TJ, for helping to make it happen this morning. Sheree Darden, check her out on Thursdays with Inside Scoop Part 2, 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here at WWDBAM Talk 860. Have a great day, everybody. Woo-woo!